there are many experiences of the film, and I think a lot of people go through a question of what is good and evil, who yeah. is, you know,
yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Is that, does that even exist? Be thinking, okay, what is this, a supernatural thing? And there's part of it that is supernatural, yeah. this idea of the soul and the magic side of it.
Have you seen Jordan Peele's new movie? Have you seen Us? Well, if you haven't, I advise you to do so, because on one level, it's a really well done film, from my amateur opinion. But more importantly, we're going to discuss the true meaning of what happens in that film. The film is loaded with occult symbolism. It is the master agenda of the Illuminati, if you will, if you want to take that route. And the reason I think you should watch it is because I think you need to see how these themes that recur over and over and over again in all of the entertainment, as you well know, following this podcast or my website, or if you read the books, the themes are almost predictable at this point. Now, don't go listening to the other outlets that try to tell you the meaning of this film, because they will give you their American self-deprecating hyper-millennial liberal sadness about how it's a narrative on social problems, which it might be on one level, right? Don't get me wrong. But the truth is, after you hear my analysis, you will come to the conclusion that there is an occult element here. There is an initiation ritual happening between the director, Jordan Peele, and you, the viewer. But we're going to get into all of the themes here. If you read my article that is on IlluminatiWatcher.com, then you know most of the material here traverses going underground, a classic initiation sign, symbol, the Luciferian initiation, because that's what this is. It's a Luciferian tale, blurring the lines of good and evil, the shadow and the confrontation that forces enlightenment upon the initiate, and some different concepts of magic, and so on. Now, I want to go back in time 20 seconds here. I want to clarify to you, because I know some of you listening aren't familiar with me or my work, but it was funny because I watched the film, and I took all my notes, came home, and started writing like a madman, because that's the creative process for me. I actually didn't want to read any reviews. I didn't want to see anything about this, because I did an analysis of Get Out, which I thought was also a fantastic movie. And on the strength of Get Out, I went and saw this film, not really knowing if there was any occult symbolism to be had here. And I came home and, you know, I pieced it all together, took my notes from the film. And when I wrote the article, I made this statement, and I'll just read the beginning here. I said, don't listen to all of the millennial hipster Vice Huffington news outlets, bloggers, and podcasters trying to tell you their analysis of Jordan Peele's Us. They can't get over themselves and virtue signal any harder with their theories about all the social problems and Donald Trump and blah, blah, blah. Now, to the untrained ear or eye, you may think that I am your standard alt-right conspiracy theorist, but that is couldn't be any further from the truth. In fact, I am a pretty liberal dude. In fact, although I'm a non-affiliated voter, what's curious is that with the new regime, it's made me think even less of the Liberal Party with all of the craziness they've been talking about. I mean, they take it too far. This ultra hypersensitivity to words. I mean, it's insane. I said it years ago, and I still mean it. I think the First Amendment is what we need to watch out for, not the second, because I think free speech is under attack, and it bothers me that the liberals co-opted this somehow. I think they've been infiltrated It used to be the party of pushing the boundaries. I don't know what happened. Anyways, I don't want to get into a political speech with you. But overall, I think as a conspiracy theorist, you have to embrace the idea of nonconformity. I think that if you want conservatism, you're looking at embracing the past, but the past has always been a control system, a control agenda. So why wouldn't you go progressive and shoot for something new? That encapsulates my political ideology in a nutshell there. But you didn't come here for that, nor did I. It's too early in the morning for that. We came here for Us, Jordan Peele's movie, that is. And I'm going to tell you why this movie is an occult initiation. Spoilers ahead. If you haven't seen the movie, I highly advise you go do that. This may very well ruin it for you. In fact, it will ruin it for you. Because we have to. We have to talk about it. We have to talk about the things that you're going to hear and see. So, if you haven't seen it, hit the pause button. Go back. Watch the movie. Come back whenever you got time and listen to this. Because you're not going to get this analysis anywhere else. Trust me. Oh, yeah, and I didn't finish my thought on that. I actually did not listen to or read any articles when I made that statement, so I don't know if Huffington Post or Vox wrote a social narrative construct of this. I'm sure it's true. The only piece of media I digested before I recorded this, I actually wrote the article and then was doing things, laundry to be specific, and I was listening. I just typed in on my iTunes app, I typed in Us Film. There's a podcast called Film Daily. I know nothing of them. It had a discussion about the film, and there was these three guys, and they were doing what I predicted. It's all, well, you see, it's about the social problems and the evil white man and the ba-ba-boop-a-doop-a-dee. And I was like, of course, that's where this goes. No one mentions the obvious symbolism of the white rabbit going underground, Alice in Wonderland. It says, find yourself on the front of the funhouse. I mean, come on. What about philosophy? What about know thyself? We didn't get into that. We got into all the problems. And don't get me wrong, there's problems with evil white, old white, rich elitist men. Don't get me wrong. In fact, if you were to embody an archetype of the Illuminati, that's probably what it is. Rockefeller, Rothschild, J.P. Morgan, all these people. I think someone in the Illuminati would have a top hat and a curly mustache and a cane and a monocle. The Monopoly Man. But he doesn't have a monocle. That's Mandela affected into your brain. What is reality? Well, we're not going to get into that today. Let's go. Now, the first thing I want to talk to you about with Us, because I'm sure by now you've come back, you've watched the movie, now you're ready to talk. The dark side. When I went into the film, I don't know about you, they played a trailer for the X-Men's newest film. It's called Dark Phoenix. I myself no longer a fan of the superhero genre because I grew up. that hurt. That stung a little bit. For some of yous out there, some of yous love the superheroes. I hate them. I can't stand it. Can we move on and have some adult films, please? Anyways, they had a trailer for Dark Phoenix. And on the movie cardboard scene out in the theater that I walked into had the big cardboard cutout for Dark Phoenix. And it said, every hero has a dark side. It's the same concept because I guess from what I read, the Dark Phoenix is a, I don't know, it's a female superhero that was good, now turns bad, I don't know, don't ask me, I don't care. I've watched enough superhero movies to last a lifetime. I've told you about the connections to Helena Blavatsky as the idea of the evolved Superman. That's an occult agenda. We could do that with every single superhero film there is, but I've beaten it to death. The film, like Us, is an initiation of the masses. It is a revelation of the method. That is the concept that you say, why would the Illuminati, if they're hidden, why would they reveal the truths to us? Why would they tell us what they're going to do? Well, it's because they have to. That's the way the mind works, because the Illuminati have been studying the mind for a lot longer than we have, and they kind of understand how it works. And this is where I'm going with my new alien book that I'm writing, to be released God knows when, hopefully 2019. But that's what the film is. It's a revelation of the method of how this whole thing works. They're trying to plant the seeds to get the mind processing. So I know what you're saying. You're saying, well, Isaac, you're just helping them out with this. You're explaining their agenda. Well, I am. It's true. I don't know what to do about that. That's a conundrum to be determined. But I think knowledge is power, and you need to know and make choices for yourself. So us demonstrates these ritualistic elements of approaching the dark side and confronting the shadow. And these are things that we'll talk about in the analyses here. If you read my book, The Dark Path, I talked about the occult rituals and how that works. And if you read or saw my analysis for Rihanna's Anti albums, you'll see it's the same thing. It's the alchemical negredo blackening process. It's the transformation process, approaching the abyss, approaching the darkness, to learn, to enlighten oneself. Now, the beginning of us, at the very beginning, there's some script on the screen. And it starts out explaining about how there's all these underground tunnels in America all over the place, which will foreshadow this idea of going below, going underground. Because this film is a modern day version of Alice in Wonderland. It is the occult initiation where the protagonist goes underground to learn some kind of thing and then come back with the boons, with the Joseph Campbell boons. It's what happens in Star Wars. Luke goes on an adventure and comes back with his new acquired skills of the Force and shares it with all. Now, recently a friend of the website sent me, there was a witch's almanac from the 90s. And he sent me a screenshot. I put this on IlluminatiWatcher.com. And it says right on there, it says that practitioners of ceremonial magic are advised to read Alice in Wonderland. It's the same stuff. So at the beginning of the film, you see the child version of Adelaide. And let me frame this up for you, for those of you that haven't seen the film. Adelaide is the main protagonist character. She is shown to you at the beginning as a child, and then quickly it jumps to present day. You know, she's a child in the 80s, then there's present day, and there's some back and forth flashbacks, okay? So Adelaide is our main character. Remember that, right? I'll help you out, though. I'm not good with names. That's why I had to pull up the cast and characters thing here. I don't know why that is. I'm just not. You can see that in my writing, my written analysis of this. So Adelaide, she's a child, and it's the 80s, and she's watching television. There's a commercial for Hands Across America, which you know what that is. I'm not going to insult your intelligence. And if you look closely, you can see on the sides of the TV, there are VHS tapes. One of them is The Right Stuff. The Right Stuff was a sort of a failure, apparently. I didn't know anything about this, but I knew of it, never seen it, about America's first manned space flight. And I think Jordan Peele is going to address this at some point in the future here. I think he's going to address going to the moon, going to outer space. Was the moon landing faked? Of course it was faked. We all know that. Excuse me. Oh, made myself cough on that one. But yeah, so that's one. That's a seed, I think. I'm predicting. Because the whole moon thing is very weird. It's very strange. Clearly, we did not go to the moon. Okay. And then on the other side, you see Chud. Chud was an 80s horror film. It's about homeless people that mutate and come up from the sewers. And that is what we see with this film. It's people the downtrodden or underground, the homeless, but then they switch places and they come up above. As above, so below. That's as far as the social construct message that I want to get into. Don't get me wrong. There's some social awareness sort of ideas here. I mean, there's an agenda. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's there. But everything else is so overwhelmingly in your face, a cult initiation, that I don't even care about the other stuff. We're talking about Lucifer. We're talking about the serpent, the snake. We're talking about the fallen angel of light. Because at the beginning, we're still at the beginning with the 80s flashback. Adelaide is on the boardwalk. She's playing games with her parents. And in fact, you can see when he's popping the balloons to win her the Michael Jackson Thriller t-shirt, which is curious also, that the... because in Thriller, Michael Jackson has a bit of duality as well, right? He turns into the monster, goes back and forth. Is he a good guy? Is he a bad guy? He's got the reptilian eyes. But anyways, her father wins her a prize, but you'll see that... I don't have a copy of the movie, so I couldn't review it. And I was furiously writing in the dark on my notepad. But I remember there was a poster and it had like a pyramid with a lightning bolt in it. Foreshadowing. So she wins the shirt. Her parents are distracted. She gets lost. She starts wandering around. She passes a homeless man with a sign that says Jeremiah 11:11. Me being the really shitty Christian that I am, no clue what that was. I think that makes me a good Christian, to be honest. I think there's nothing grosser than when someone starts spitting out like they memorized the whole Bible. It feels very judgmental. Correct me if I'm wrong. Convince me otherwise. No, I'm just kidding. Let's read what the Bible verse says. On first glance, so there's two. I got two here. First, the Orthodox Study Bible, which is my source of reference that I go to, says that Jeremiah 11:11 is, "Then the cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods of whom they offer incense, but will they save them in the time of their calamities?" Talking about defying God's will and worshiping false idols. That these, I don't know if these are the Israelites, I don't know, don't ask me. But then another version, another interpretation says, "Therefore, this is what the Lord says, I will bring on them a disaster they cannot escape. Although they cry out to me, I will not listen to them." So what does this verse represent here? It represents the occult belief that God is an oppressor. He must be usurped. And whenever you get into this sort of idea of study, you see they always upset. They do this funny thing where they say, well, Christianity and God is all bullshit, and you know, God with the beard and the clouds, he's an oppressor, and he wanted to force worship of him, and he was a mean guy. Which I don't know if I disagree with that. It seemed like a pretty mean guy, right? But then they overlooked the fact that God came down in the form of Jesus Christ, and he was a great guy. He was this real kind of chill hippie, you know, turn the other cheek and, you know, just love each other, man. Right? But they fixate on, they want to say, throw away Christianity, it's a bunch of bullshit, and it's all Old Testament mean God. Because some churches do focus on that. They focus on the idea of condemning gay people, and there's no embracing of other people, as we are all God's creation, right? We all are. Are we not? No sin is higher than another. But anyways, the point is they want to condemn the Christianity and replace it. Who are they going to replace it with? Luciferianism, that's who. They want to say that, look, God is repressing and restricting your freedoms because he wants you to worship him because he's so damn oppressive. And who's the better God? Lucifer. Lucifer wants you to have a good time and do what thou wilt. Fulfill your desires. And of course, we could go much deeper into this because there's the different attitudes of these two systems, but there's a duality here, right? And that's what the film's about. And that's why I think Jeremiah 11:11 appears in the film, because it's saying, it's paving the way to embrace a Luciferian idea where you don't have to worry about God's will. Because in the next part, the very next thing that happens is that Adelaide goes down the stairs of the boardwalk, goes under the boardwalk to this creepy funhouse, which it was, it says something about like the shaman's adventure. I couldn't catch it. Something about the shaman's adventure, find yourself. Okay, which we'll get into that. That's a whole philosophical argument. Now, this lightning bolt that you see crashing from the skies foreshadows this whole scene. She is getting ready to go down the stairs from the boardwalk, and the lightning is hitting. It's framed very well. Because Lucifer is represented by the lightning bolt. Luciferian, fallen angel. It all happens down in the funhouse, which is underground. Now, and then later in the film, the funhouse is still there, you know, 40 years later. It's called Merlin's Forest. But it still says, excuse me, it still says find yourself. Merlin, of course, a nod to ritual magic, because magic is in this film. Oh, indeed it is. In fact, let's get into the find yourself talk right now. Because find yourself is an idea that goes back to the ancient Greeks and the philosophers. And it started out with this idea of the oppressive god Zeus. Again, you got the oppressive bearded god in the clouds. And Zeus would imprison the people until Prometheus, the real savior, the savior of the people, the deity that steals fire from Zeus, and he gives it to the people to help them out. Prometheus is the archetype of Lucifer. And we could apply this to modern day stuff with like technology. Luciferian, I mean, and you got to get kind of like fringy with this, right? But Lucifer gave man the technology for man to become God on his own without worshiping the God in the clouds. Now, a lot of philosophers talk about this phrase of know thyself. You see it in the Matrix above the Oracle's door. You even see it in Netflix's Maniac. Have you seen my analysis of Netflix's Maniac yet? Very interesting. It's very good. I'm going to break my arm, pat my own back. But Netflix's Maniac has a lot of these themes in there. But know thyself and find yourself. It's the same message, is it not? Same phrase. So Adelaide, she enters the shaman's funhouse. And the first thing that happens to her is this mechanized owl comes out and scares her. A jump scare inserted. Might be the first one of the film, actually. Why the owl? Because the owl is the symbolism for Minerva, the goddess of enlightenment. The owl symbol represents the enlightenment of the practitioner. It's the goddess of wisdom. And the owl is also utilized at Bohemian Grove at the cremation of care ceremony. Because these Illuminati elitists, they still worship these gods to this day. Sounds crazy. I know it. Next, we see the opening credits. They zoom in on the all-seeing eye of a white rabbit. I mean, come on, right? The all-seeing eye, we all know what that means. It means Illuminati enlightenment of man becoming God. It's an initiation tale like Alice in Wonderland. That's what this film is. And I can't believe that everyone's getting this wrong. The film shows, okay, so like you got the beginning, it showed the flashback, then you got the opening credits, and now you've got Adelaide. She's an adult and she is in a car trip with her family. She's got a son, a daughter, and her husband, of course. Her husband is driving. But the daughter, her t-shirt has the white rabbit on it. So what is up with the white rabbit? Jordan Peele was interviewed by Empire, and he says that it is about the Messiah and the duality of Easter.
I think they'll be running towards it. They'll embrace this.
You know, another thematic. There's several things going on with the rabbits for me.
Yeah.
One of the big ones is Easter.
Okay.
A celebration, a holiday of much a duality in itself. It's the rising from this grave, and this movie, as you know, is sort of this dark Easter. It is a return, a rising of a Messiah.
Yes.
After a metaphorical death of sorts,
a declaration to the world.
Yes,
as well,
a declaration to the world as well.
Now, it's curious because when they're driving to their summer house, the daughter with the white rabbit shirt, she makes a very curious statement out of nowhere, unprovoked, about fluoride being in the water to mind control us. Out of nowhere. It makes no sense. It doesn't fit in the movie at all. And it could take us back to the themes of Get Out, his first film, because it had mind control elements in there. Check my analysis for that. Now, the second reference to 11-11 is seen because they get to the summer house. Adelaide is putting her son to bed, and the clock says 11-11. So, 11 has more significance than just the Bible verse. Why is that? Well, I found on a website, because I don't profess to understand a lot of numerology, that the website, I'm going to shout it out here, nataliacuna.com. NataliaCuna.com has the occult usage of the numbers. And 11 represents enlightenment. Of course it does. I've read other places, and Freeman talks about this. Talks about the symbolism of 9-11. The black magician going from the sorcerer to the god. 11 is about enlightenment of the practitioner, evolving into something higher. So that's another reason why we see the 11. Now let's talk about the shadow, because that is a main theme of this movie. The shadow is a more complex subject. Now, the first half of the film, to sum it up a little bit more, in case you haven't seen it and you didn't want to see it, they go to the summer home, this clone family breaks in. It's a home invasion horror movie, which is probably one of the worst kinds of horror movies, right? Like The Strangers. I don't know if you've seen that. That one's pretty terrifying. The home invasion ones get me. But the clone family breaks in. They imprison. They tie up, sort of, the I don't know, what are we going to call them? The original family. And this clone family, we'll call them the above ground and the below ground family. How's that? The below ground family has control now. And they tell them that they are the shadow people. They use those exact words. Now, the shadow, because this is a bit more heady than my expertise allows, I actually did some research on it and wrote it in more in depth in The Dark Path, because the shadow is a very important element in this occult agenda. So I'm just going to read it how I wrote it there, because that was the sort of the best way for me to encapsulate and convey the point of this. And I'm talking about Carl Jung, the psychoanalyst, who comes up a lot in this realm of research in the occult and the paranormal. Jung said, or I'm sorry, here we go, from The Dark Path. Jung provided the theory of a person's shadow side after he had a dream in which a large black figure chased him in the fog. While he was being chased by the dark figure, he held a small light in his hands, which he eventually determined to be the cause for the black mass, which he understood to be his own shadow. The idea of the shadow is one that requires some prerequisite knowledge of how a human mind operates, in theory. There is a persona, which is like the mask that most people see and interact with. This is not the same as our true inner selves for a variety of reasons. It is more of an outer behavior that we show others. Think of it as our social media caricature that we show others in order to portray ourselves in the best light. The process of individuation means that a person is able to integrate all aspects of their being, including their persona and shadow. Then I got a quote here from Carl Jung. In general, it is the process by which individual beings are formed and differentiated from other human beings. In particular, it is the development of the psychological individual as a being distinct from the general collective psychology. This means that one is able to move inwards past the persona, past the ego, and even penetrate and understand their innermost shadow. Alan Watts compared the shadow to the manure necessary to create a rose, meaning that one can only flourish if they understand the inner workings of their psyche. In German, the Hintergedanken, sorry, I don't know if, you know, and I narrated this book already, okay? I narrated this book for Audible. If you enjoy this short reading I'm giving you, check it out on Audible. You can get the whole book. You can get it for free even if you sign up for a free trial. Tell them Isaac sent you. Anyways, sorry. In German, the Hintergedanken references this dark corner of the mind that is deep-seated and seemingly impenetrable. Facing one shadow. Now, I want you to... Okay, pause again. I want you to listen here. This is the most important element of what I'm about to say, and then I'm done reading. Facing one shadow is the recurring theme found in occult rituals when the initiate is led to believe they are facing imminent danger or even death. They believe it is necessary to integrate the evil and employ the inner devil that can be viewed as strength. Watts believed that without the shadow there cannot be a substance, and I believe he may be somewhat correct. It's a bit of a cliffhanger, huh? You're going to have to read the book for why I believe that may be correct. As the film progresses, you see how this shadow element fits into the story. It's about integrating the evil, which Jordan Peele was interviewed by Empire and alludes a similar idea.
If I wasn't, you know, revealing that we have been the bad guy in this movie, we've been following the villain. You know, I say villain lightly because, you know, I think. There are many experiences of the film, and I think a lot of people go through a question of what is good and evil. Does that even exist? Both characters are lovable and terrifying based on the lives they've led. They've just sort of inverted paths.
Next subject, the initiated. The family, the above ground and the below ground, the above and so below family are in the house together, and they each kind of like start attacking their shadow, their clone, and the shadow, and the boy, the son, he's I don't know how old he is, I'm not good with kids' ages, 10, I don't know, 8, anyways, he's the one, in the movie, he walks around with this mask on his head, like he doesn't put it down too often, but he's wearing it on his head. It's like his blankie, I guess. I don't know. And he and the shadow version of himself go into this closet. And the shadow version of the boy, he's got a full mask and he wears it down all the time because he's got burn marks on his face. And when they're in the closet, you can see in the background on the shelf, there's a board game and it says Magic. Why is that? Well, I believe that Jordan Peele knows this. The themes of magic always go hand in hand with the occult ritual. So the fact that this boy throughout the film is playing with stage magic and talking about magic tricks, and the fact that there's a magic game in the closet, it sort of confirms this.
I love when answers, it's so satisfying to me in a horror movie when a question is answered, mm-hmm. but it only remains scary if the answer raises new questions to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you walk into this movie thinking, okay, what is this, a supernatural thing? And there's part of it that is supernatural, yeah. This idea of the soul and the magic side of it. But I wanted to have a moment where she declares, you know, pretty early on without saying these words, like, look, we're from here.
Yeah.
We're human beings that are from this soil.
Now, the above-ground family, they get away. They go over to their white friend's house. And they find out that the white friends, they also had a shadow family. Their shadow family actually killed them. So the above-ground family, they kill the white people's shadow family. And then they turn on the news. And now the film transitions from a home invasion to a global invasion. They find out that the shadow people are coming up from the sewers, and they're actually doing a Hands Across America thing, which we're referencing from the beginning of the film with the commercial and with Chud on the shelf there. So we find out this is a mass initiation. Everyone in America has to confront their shadow. And of course, the story here focuses on Adelaide and her experience approaching her shadow, because it was actually her shadow that was the messiah figure for the below ground people. And it makes sense when you watch the movie. I don't know if I want to take the time to get into explaining it, but just know that, and you'll see by the end, there's a real, I mean, I've been spoiling the plot so far, but it's going to really get spoiled by the end of this analysis. But anyways, so they see this is happening on a global scale. They get back in the car and they're driving around. And of course, there's like chaos everywhere. And Adelaide, they end up back on the beach, back where now it's Merlin's Forest with the Find Yourself, the fun house. Adelaide goes in there and because she's following the white rabbit again, right? And this time she clearly goes underground. I mean, she's going down escalators. She's walking down stairs. It's like 11 stories of stairs. 11, I'm guessing, is the accurate number based on the symbology and numerology of this whole thing. If you look at gematria, that's probably the way this goes down. I'd have to watch it again to count up the number of flights she goes down. And what was curious is that she's going through this sort of underground mega structure, and you'll see she passes up an X inside of an O. If you watch the film, look for that. It's not like there's graffiti all over these walls either. There's an X inside the L. This is the Illuminati Mark of the Beast. I told you about this many moons ago. Goes back to Kenneth Grant and the Typhonian OTO and trying to summon the beast from the abyss. But you see that symbol here. It's the symbol you also see on Slender Man. There's a new documentary on HBO about it. Beware the Slender Man. Which again, I'm going to start inceptioning you a little bit here. My alien book, we're going to talk about this. It's this idea that if enough people believe in this concept, like with Slender Man, these kids started believing it, then they tried to manifest it into reality, and then it kind of became reality. Anyways, Adelaide goes underground 100 stories. She finds her shadow down there. And the shadow tells her about this tether that was connecting the two, as above, so below. And Shadow Adelaide reveals that there was an experiment to clone humans, just the bodies, not the souls, in order to have these subterranean clones control the real bodies above ground. And they don't explain why this is, if it was like a military experiment, who exactly conducted it. We could fill in the blanks there, I don't know. But the point is, as above, so below is the connection, which is, again, a theme of ritual magic and witchcraft. They believe, quite literally, magic rituals conducted in our plane of existence can be reenacted out in the cosmos. They think they are literally controlling the universe. It sounds nuts. And it is. But that is how this goes down. That's why there's all this as above, so below references in this film. Now, the way that the shadow broke this tether, because again, she's the messiah. The shadow Adelaide is the messiah that gets all the other clones underground to wake up and realize what's going on here. She's the only one with a consciousness, sort of. The tether between, because they were forcibly linked above ground and below. The way it got broke was when there was a dance being conducted, Because in the film, that's an important element of the story, is Adelaide is a dancer. And, of course, the dance ritual is shown to us as above, so below, on both the above ground and below ground. And what was curious is that I just talked about the occult ritual dance elements with my analysis of the 2018 Suspiria film. You can read that for more, but it's basically this idea of a universal language. Back in the occult secret societies, they were talking about this. And Jordan Peele, much to my surprise, or not surprise, in that interview with Empire, actually revealed this same truth.
Part of the Tethered's reaction to Red, the fact that she becomes their messiah, is it the fact that she comes to them from the outside?
Great question. I think so, yes. Yeah. They're special. You know, they crossed over into the other plane. So I think when she dances for them, mm-hmm. you know, and they, you know, if you notice, the Tethered don't speak.
Yes.
You know, they don't have language. She has to, Adelaide learns language as she bides her time dancing above. But when, you know, the original Adelaide, now Red, mm-hmm. dances at 14, and I think she tells her story in a way, in a language they understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Adelaide above is, you know, she's physically moving. I think below, she's finding her voice.
In the film, the shadow says God brought us together that night. And you get more flashbacks of the Luciferian lightning. Now, let's start winding down here. Let's sum this thing up. You can see in the film, the characters face death. That's what makes this a horror movie, right? They face death. And then they approach the shadow. And then they reconcile the opposites. Which takes us back to the research of, like what I said from the Dark Path. Facing one shadow is the recurring theme found in occult rituals when the initiate is led to believe they are facing imminent danger or even death. They believe it's necessary to integrate the evil and employ the inner devil that can be viewed as strength. That's what this film is about. And the reconciliation of opposites, of course, that's a side effect of approaching the shadow, the Baphomet. We talked about that in the Dark Path also. We even see that the boy, he's wearing his mask throughout the film. Again, this is the concept of Joseph Campbell, the hero with a thousand faces. Carl Jung referencing the ego and the mask we wear to communicate to the outside world and repress the shadow. Which is what you find out when this film concludes here. This is the super spoiler, so if you wanted to watch the film, turn this off now. When you find out that Adelaide, the above ground Adelaide, actually went underground and switched places. That's why she has a consciousness, because she's the real Adelaide. And the idea here is that they are reconciling the opposing dark forces that they've been suppressing and keeping from society due to fears and norms. And that's why at the end of the film, the boy understands what happened. Because Adelaide, who's actually the below ground Adelaide, she looks back at the boy and the boy recognizes it. And he puts his mask back on. He's not ready to confront and the shadow. He's repressing the shadow still. Because I imagine there'll be a sequel where maybe he approaches his shadow. One must confront the shadow and destroy the ego. It's a concept we see in Star Wars. They have to balance the force. And especially if you go back and read my analysis for Get Out, there was a slew of symbolism there for reconciling the opposites. In fact, maybe I'll do a special show on Get Out here for you. That was back when I was focusing more on YouTube videos before they banned me. But my analysis is on IlluminatiWatcher.com, and I've got the video on there too, by the way. I went around YouTube and got a Vimeo account, so you can still watch all the videos. They're all on there. Now, Jordan Peele's movie Get Out had all the symbolism for reconciling the opposites as well. The merging of consciousness, the black and white reconciling the opposites, black souls, white bodies. They had black and white symbolism all throughout the movie posters, the TV show the guy watches when he's in the mind control lab there. It says, "Behold the Coagula." What does Coagula mean? Well, look at the Baphomet. You'll see it. On the forearms, it says, "Solve and Coagula. Separate and join together." So again, Jordan Peele's Us is a film about a cult initiation and approaching one's shadow. The protagonist, Adelaide, she goes on this journey with the help of Minerva, the owl god, and Lucifer, the lightning. She reconciles the opposites, fulfills the Baphomet's calling, and this film is definitely a follow-up to Get Out. Now, what do you think? Go ahead and read some other analysis, see if they get it right. I'm not going to. I got tired of reading other people's analysis many moons ago. Maybe some of them got it right. I don't know. I casually looked at a few. They weren't even talking about the Find Yourself. I mean, that's a pretty vanilla thing to talk about. They weren't even covering that. They were so hard virtue signaling so hard they couldn't think about anything besides that. Everyone's very sensitive today. So tell me what you think. You can leave a comment on IlluminatiWatcher.com. You can hit me on the socials. I'm all over the socials. And most importantly, I do want you... Here's the thing. I always ask you to do something. Here's what I want you to do. If you've already done it, gold star for you for the day. Last time I asked you to leave a review on iTunes, and a bunch of you did it. Thank you very much. Now I want you to go to my website and sign up for my email newsletter. It's free. I control it. I won't sell it. Sign up for the email newsletter. That's the way you and I stay connected in case they ban me on the iTunes for whatever reason. People get very sensitive and triggered by things I say for whatever reason. They can't handle it, I guess. It's not that controversial. But I want you to sign up for the free email newsletter because that's how you and I stay connected. I give you updates. When there's a new article, when there's a new show, you're the first to find out. So that's your task for the day. But I want to thank you for listening. And I want you, as always, to stay woke. Hey, Patreons. Patreon supporters. What should I call this here? I don't know. Patreon supporters. Got a quick message for you. I've got a few shows in the can here. I gotta do some post editing. I got the Arrival analysis, the film for Arrival. I've got one for Wicker Man. That's taken me a long time because I've had some problems figuring out some stuff. I don't want to bore you with the details. I'm also gonna do a quick thing on Nipsey Hussle, the rapper that just got killed. But I wanted to squeeze this analysis of Us in real quick because it's very relevant. And also, I wanted to do, no promises yet. I want to do a book club with you on Father Seraphim Rose's book, Orthodoxy and the New Religion. Because I think it's very relevant. It's written back in like the 60s or so. But that's my plan for the next few months is maybe we'll go through that over the course of maybe, I don't know, 4 episodes. It just depends on how much information I can pull out of there. But that's the plan here for the future. But I just wanted to give you a very quick thank you. I gave you a bonus episode in March of the show. Based on the survey, it seemed like I had a healthy mixture of ideas of what you wanted from me. Because I want to serve you, right? You're the customer here. I want to make it worth your while here. Some of you are supporting just because you want to support the cause. I appreciate that. But I myself am a bargain hunter, so I get it, right? I want to give you something in return. So I've been thinking like a bonus episode every month because like what happens is I make these episodes and I give like the first half for free to the freebies and then the Patreon supporters get the whole show. That turns a lot of people off, you know. They don't like it, which I get, right? But... So the other way around it is just to have entire exclusive episodes. Maybe that's the way forward. I don't know yet. I'm still trying to figure this out. Try to give you some bonus stuff here and there. Every month I try to give you some kind of bonus. I don't know what it's going to be yet. I've also got a show lined up. I've got a special guest lined up. I tried to set this up last year and it fell through. I contacted this guy again and he said he wants to do it. So we're just trying to schedule it out. I don't want to tell you his name yet, just because in case it doesn't work out, I don't want you to get mad at him or whatever. But I do have a special guest lined up. But yeah, there's a lot going on here this summer. So I do want to thank you for being on the team. I just want to give you a quick little message. So one that the free losers don't get. But yeah, I do want to, seriously, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much. You're seriously keeping this whole thing alive. I appreciate it. That's all I really got to say about that. Thank you very much.